Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
Segment's brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. You need to get that car fired up for good fuel mileage, or maybe you're even a race car driver, or maybe you got a classic car, or maybe you're going to put it in a car show and it needs to be absolutely bone stock. San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection can take care of all your automotive needs. 6622 University Avenue. When in doubt, go to www.sdcarb.com. And when nobody else can fix your carburetor or fuel injection, Stan is the man. All right, so you went to the Orange Show last night.
Yeah, I went out to San Bernardino to go see the races. They had the K&N series. The kids who are ready to go to NASCAR, basically, but they're getting their seat time and learning how to do media and everything like that.
Cool.
So I spent an evening out there.
And I understand you ran into a young driver.
Yes, I did. I ran into some.
And he's on the line.
Yes, and so we have Zach St. Ange on the line.
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Well, we're not doing too bad. Michelle hasn't told me anything about last night, so how was your outing?
Well, it was interesting. We got a call a couple days ago, and John Wood said he had a ride, and, you know, my home track, so I was definitely anxious to be able to race K&N there. I had done a couple races last year, so I was excited to do it, and it was definitely an experience, a good learning experience for me, because K&N's our goal for next year. So it was definitely good to get out there and see what it's like.
What is it about K&N that is different from the series as you run right now?
I would say that the biggest thing is that when you race K&N, all these guys, everyone's super competitive. You know, you're with drivers that, you know, really know what they're doing, you know, home tracks and late model series, you know, everyone's good. But when you take that step up into a more premier division like that, everyone is so highly skilled. It's really unique with cars that are fairly equal to go out there and show what you can do against drivers that, you know, those are the best guys on the West Coast.
Yeah. So that causes you to up your game.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. You really got to show to the track on your A game and, show them what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, Zach is 16 years old, and his family's from Upland, and he got started a long time ago in the quarter midgets, and he used to race in the quarter midgets with our other buddy, Joel Rayborn.
Oh, okay. And you did a little bandolero racing as well?
Yeah, we started quarter midgets, did that for a couple of years, had a lot of fun doing that. And then moved up to bandos and then started doing a touring series, Southwest Tour Trucks, and then mini stocks. And then we made the step up to late models and did a full year of that at Orange Show. And then now, where we at now is running for national points in late model, running Irwindale and Kern, a little Orange Show here and there. Also going for Rookie of the Year in national.
Awesome. Isn't that great?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, who have you got on the side of the car? Who pays your bills?
Right now, it's mostly a family operation. My grandpa and my dad are the people that help the most. We're definitely looking for sponsors. We got a car that can go out and win, and hopefully that we can find someone here soon enough that wants to move forward with us, and we can put their name on Victory Lane.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were with Late Models, what kind of car did you drive?
Late models were racing, it's a race car factory car, just the basic, you know, track late model that, for Irwindale and Kern. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever run into Austin Edwards?
Yeah. I've raced with Austin for a long time. I actually raced with him and, Bandos, the Southwest Tour Truck Series, and then most recently been doing some, late model stuff every once in a while with him, you know, he's a good driver. He's young and just a couple years younger than me, but he's doing really good. He's very skilled. He's a wheel man. I remember last year he came out to the 100 lapper and finished top five or whatever, and he was up there for the win. So I'm excited to see what he does.
Well, we work with him a lot trying to help him find sponsorship, just like we'll do what we can to help you find sponsorship. And
exactly.
By calling in, you know, when you're talking to people about money, you can tell them that, hey, if they sponsor you, you know, you've got a slot on this radio show to promote their business. And if you want to drag your gear down to San Diego some weekend, I'll put you on the number one watch morning show. You can invite them to come down with you if you'd like. And those are just some of the added bonuses that most people don't have that are out there trying to learn how to race and, you know, deal with all of the money issues. So you're feel free to put that on your proposal sheet, and I'll get Scott to give you my address, and we've got some racer radio stickers we're happy to send you if you'd like to slap them on the side of the car.
For sure, yeah. I'm down for that. That sounds like a good time. Thank you, guys.
So now you're only 16, so it sounds like you're 52 years old, or you sound like you feel like it. But is your goal to go to make this a full-time career?
Yeah, you know, the end goal is definitely NASCAR. You know, I'm blessed to be able to do what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can go. I think I can make it all the way. You know, but the people that helped me, I thank them, and then hopefully the people that want to help, we can get them on board, and we can see how far we can go with it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, and it's just like the old saying goes, if it was easy, everybody would do it and everybody would be successful.
Right.
But it's very difficult. It sounds to me like you've got a pretty good support group, you know, to get you through these races. And
fortunately, Irwindale's staying open, so he can keep racing.
Is that your other track you go to?
Yeah, Irwindale. That's one of the main tracks we're going to. We still have a lot of races left. But yeah, I'm glad that place is back. I know that Tim Huddleston's a big force behind it, and Bob Mercati, mm-hmm. and getting that place back open.
Yes.
A lot of people think they're closed, so it's got to get the word out that that place is open because they're doing some really cool stuff right now.
I know.
Do me a favor and get a hold of their contact info, and then when you get my email from Scott, send it to me. We would love to give them. I'll give them an hour of radio if they want to talk about the track.
Yeah, Doug Stokes.
Well, he's not doing it anymore.
Is he done?
Yeah, he's not doing PR for him, I don't think, anymore.
That's the last thing I had heard was from Doug Stokes back around the time when...
But we're happy to keep that track open because nothing makes me crazier than to see a track close. It's just terrible.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of tracks out here on the West Coast. You know, there's at least not as many as there is, you know, back east. But so as many as we can keep open is definitely a good thing.
Well, and asphalt tracks, they're even rarer. I mean, we've got a few dirt tracks out here, but asphalt, I mean, those are non-existent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have Irwindale, Kern, you know, Vegas, Orange Show. You know, those are the, you know, IE, and then you have Madera. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're a rare breed out here.
Yeah, with that shout out. So hey, I got to ask you a question. So I hooked up Michelle to take the Corey Kruseman Sprint Car Experience in July.
Uh huh.
What kind of tips can you give her?
Well, turn left is one of them.
By the way, she hasn't been in anything any faster than a Miata, so this ought to be a good
one. Well, that isn't true.
But I think it's going to be a great. I think it's going to be a great experience for her, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. You know, you get that racing in your blood, and all of a sudden you're hooked, and you just got to keep doing it.
Well, the problem is, it's already there, okay? And I just haven't put a needle into that vein yet.
Yeah, I know. But
that's
you will.
The thing.
You will after Ventura. I got a sneaky feeling. I got a feeling she's going to beat me up for a racer radio sponsorship. That's where I'm afraid this is going to go.
Yeah.
But well, what are you going to do?
Now, tell us about your how to get hold of you on Facebook and Instagram and your social media.
You can follow me on Instagram, Zach St. Ange. Our main media outputs on Facebook, Team Zach Attack Racing. Find us on there. You know, everything's up there. We keep it pretty current and tell people what we're doing.
Well, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to generate some sponsorship for you and you can keep going with all this.
For sure, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and after either of your race, you know, just you can text us or email Michelle. And
let us know.
And we're because we always keep the 3 o'clock and the 3:45 open for you guys to call in and do
the results,
do some race results, win, lose, or draw. So you've got an open slot.
Yeah.
All you need to do is do that. You can go to Racer Radio and friend us.
We're on Facebook too.
Yeah.
And Austin Edwards calls it a learning night. Even if he has a learning night, he can call it. You know?
That's if he doesn't do well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we had a learning light last night. His Racer Radio
sticker got
really, really scraped last night.
I just want to know who the knucklehead is. It ran into our decal, so we're going after that guy. Hey, Zach, thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday. We truly enjoyed chatting with you, and we look forward to seeing you down the road.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye, Zach. We're going to take a small break. Zach Attack is off the air right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170.
The answer.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. New, used, all good. You need yourself a car? This is the guys to go see. Family owned and operated, and they deal in nothing but American new cars. That's right. They sell only Ford. And they've got a truck division. John and... I can't think of her name. I always can never think of her name. It'll come to me. But anyway, John Brennan, he runs, I think they're number two in the United States for fleet sales. These guys know their trucks.
Oh.
So if you need to build a truck, modify a truck.
For
commercial use, they're it. Mm. Also, this is the Barona Speedway moment. We had the mini sprints.
The
lightning sprints last night. We got Dirt Dude on the line. Well, buddy, how did it go?
Dirt Dude.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
We're recovering.
I am trying to recover too. It was a pretty awesome night last night. So we'll just kind of jump into it, and then we'll go over what happened. I mean, how the night went. So in our junior sprints, our junior drivers out there, Kaylee Carr to get a main event win in the mini dwarf, the sportsman division. Matthew Cagle got a main event win, and our mini dwarf masters, Landon Burnell got a main event win. Out to the big track now. For our main events, we had the California Lightning Sprints back. Cody Nye got a main event win, and it was a nice, emotional main event for him because, I mean, he was just thanking everybody, and he's like a San Diego boy. He went to San Diego State, and so he was really – he had a lot of family here, and so it was really meant a lot to him. It was like – I think it was like the first main event win for him.
Wow.
Lightning Sprints. So on to the Street Sox, Brian Brown – dude, he had a strong running car that's for sale. There's everyone there. We had eight cars show up for that, and everyone was a pretty good run. I mean, those guys are all pretty fast. On to the modifieds. Blake Thornell came all the way out of Apple Valley with Randy Thornell, and Blake Thornell got a main event win. And it was a good race too. Our track just really held together last night really well. Onto the pro ponies, Dennis Taylor got another main event win. That's his fifth main event win. And he starts in the back, so he has to go all the way from the back to the front to get a main event win. So,
wow.
Russell Staley got a main event win in the stock ponies. Onto the pure stocks, Terry Adams got a main event win. And that was a good run, too. Dwarf cars, Ryan O'Connor got a main event win, and he just had a rocket last night. I mean, the 7, Mikey Hall, was behind him and could never catch him. He was just on a rail. That car just did really well. Brittany started on the pole. Brittany, our teacher, started on the pole for the main event and finished ninth overall.
All right.
And that was,
how'd she get on the pole?
She got on the pole, and she didn't text me and tell me she was on the pole. She's in trouble.
She did well in the heat race, and then that one came back down for the draw, and when she draw, she drew a number one, which means she's on the pole.
Gosh.
Did her eyes get real big? Did her eyeballs get real big?
Her heat race, I was like, who's driving in that car? Because it wasn't you, because they were just, like, on it. I had to give her a hard time, because, man, she was just, I mean, she was in a fast heat. She was in with some of the big kids, and she was right there with them. I mean, it's just like she was not just letting them go by, and she was running with them.
Good.
Well, the more seat time she gets, the better she's going
to
be.
Just imagine, after she goes to Corey Cruzman with me, she's going to be unstoppable.
I know.
She's going to be amazing.
Too bad they couldn't tow her car.
Let me get into this real quick.
Yeah.
So last night was our Jim Squire Memorial Race. We had 800 fans show up, over 800 fans show up, and we had 84 cars show up.
Wow.
So it was nice because the Jim Squire family was there, and it's been 10 years since they've been at Verona Speedway.
Mm.
So the Squire family had a memorial for Jim Squire passing away. Mm-hmm. You know, he was actually one of the founding members of the original Verona Speedway. I think there was four or five original members, and he was one of them.
Wow.
So, and then Clint Newman is like one of the other originals that's still around Clint Newman bought out the other founding members, and then he switched it over to the Salazars, and they had like this memorial that was at Jim's services, and it was a poster board, and it had pictures back from the 90s when Verona Speedway was nothing, being built, how it expanded. You know, the cars that were out there, the first original bleachers and the first original bathrooms. And it was just so cool to see. I mean, there were so many people out there that were just like, we all sat most of the night just reminiscing about old Verona and the new Verona and how it's all going. And, you know, these guys haven't been there forever, but they raced, you know, at our track. And then, you know, we found old pictures of like the old micro sprints, which were the 250 sprints that ran at the track, and the 600s and the lightning sprints, and it was just a really fun time. But the Cody Nye, the guy that actually won the main event in the California lightning sprints, he's a friend of Corey Cruzman, because he mentioned the Corey Cruzman driving school.
Mm.
He'd been to it, and he's sponsored by Cruzman too.
Well, we should have him call in on the show. I think this sounds like a natural progression here.
You're just looking for tips.
Yeah. So what? I'm trying to get better.
Don't worry about it. If he's been at the school and he's not driving a lightning sprint, so if you go to the school, does that mean you and Brittany are going to start jumping into a lightning sprint now?
Tag team. Tag team. Works for me.
Oh, jeez.
I think that'd be great. Not thinking about it? No?
I just need to retire so I can do all this stuff. That's all.
All right, so
just find me some rich guy.
So it's
okay, if you retire, can I be your personal assistant? And sure. I can do everything with you too. Then
yeah.
There you go. Hey, so I guess what you're telling me then is the track really came together last night.
It was really a great track. It kind of started out rough because, you know, we were anticipating it being a little more warmer, windy, you know, whatever it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
And we had the cloud cover from Friday and a little bit of rain Friday. So it still was pretty wet. We ended up having to trying to flip the whole track. So basically, I'm doing the driver's meeting at 3 o'clock. And then after the driver's meeting, 3:30, we roll out to the track and start rolling the track in.
Uh-huh.
So I get done with my driver's meeting, and there's still got half the track tore up. I'm like, okay, this might take a little while.
Uh-huh.
So they end up flipping it around, trying to, you know, roll the dirt over to get the wet stuff on the bottom to the top, dry stuff on the bottom, you know, kind of mix it to dry it out a little bit more. Got through that, started doing the heat races. That gave us a break when we came out during intermission again with the kids, the junior drivers running their main events. Gave us a chance to go back and recut the track again. So we just worked with it the whole night. So by the time we get into the main event for our 23 lightning sprints that showed up, you know, we're ready to go. It's ready to go. They rolled it in. They did four wide. You know, everyone stands standing up cheering for them.
Gosh.
So it was an awesome night for that.
So you guys,
and then it just progressed you there.
Yeah. So I think you're going to ask the same question I was going to ask. So after that last night, did they come and say, hey, we're coming back?
Well, they want two more events because we have two events scheduled for a sprint car division. I mean, it was called the Outlaw Sprints, I think. You know, there's three races on the schedule. One of them is California Lightning Sprints, and then the other ones they have, I'm looking it up now, I'm trying to see, the Open Comp 1200 Lightning Sprint Night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their first two races of California Lightning Sprints got rained out. So they're thinking about coming back and doing two makeup races, which would be the two races at our track for their two rainout events.
Sweet.
It's kind of what they're thinking about doing.
Wow.
Now, if they weren't happy, guess what? They wouldn't. I know, but if they weren't happy, you wouldn't even be talking about it.
That's right.
Oh, no. They had a great night. Everyone I talked to, I mean, the top three were just, you know, super fast. And actually, I had, the 15 that led him around was Jim Squire. John Squire led him around for most of the race. I mean, it was just Nye that just found a good spot with lap traffic and got around him. So, you know, you had Kramer, which is up there at Jared Kramer, who was at KUSI with us, was second. And then the 44 Brent Sexton was third. And that's the other one of the other drivers that was at KUSI with us, too. And they all just said, you know, the track was just really, really good. Mm-hmm. One of the better tracks they've seen so far this year.
Wow.
Except for, you know, like one of their first ones that was like, you know, one of their favorite tracks, like not Barstow, Central California, like Bakersfield, I think.
The Kern County,
Yeah.
Well, so it sounds like you guys are really getting that track dialed in, that new surface.
Troy has been really working at it. Like I said, every time is totally different, you know, with your weather and how much you have going on. It's going to be how much heat you're getting, how much wind you're having. And I know we're getting in the summer, but he's really getting this thing dialed in. And if he's not happy with it, he'll bring another compound of clay. Like, he's brought several different dirt tend to blend with what he has to try and make it so the moisture stays in the corners and stuff like that. So he's just doing a phenomenal job. We're five races in, and he's getting a real good handle on it now. So I think by the end of the season, we should really be dialed in. By the next time these guys come again,
he'll be ready.
Really, really. There you go.
Well, yeah. And you know, it's funny. I can just imagine him driving around in his truck because he hauls dirt. I could just see him looking around going, that dirt might be good. Let me stop. Goes out and squishes it in his hand. Okay, that's no good. Gets back in his truck. I bet he spends more time looking for dirt for the track than he does hauling dirt.
Well, I'm sure every time he's on a job, it's everything. He's like, I can take a couple of this buckets back. And then, like, oh, man, that was like the other thing was when we're in the pits last night with all the California landing springs, Jared Kramer can't, you know, he's like still pulling the mud off his car. He goes, look, man, it's still wet and tacky at the end of the night. Like,
Wow. After
all of our main events. He's like, look, I can still put it in a ball. And he starts throwing it around. I'm like, wait, dude, what are you doing? You know, you put that in a bucket and you take it back out to the track and you dump it on the track, not here.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I got a text from Brittany.
Oh, yeah.
She's all excited. If I buy the race car.
If Dave buys us the sprint car.
She'll be more than happy to drive it. She's, yeah. You know, what a girl. You know, what would we do without that kid?
She's something else.
If you buy me a house, I would live in it, Dave.
See?
Yeah, I got a sneaky feeling you would.
Uh-huh.
I just can't feed you. All right. BaronaSpeedway.com, BaronaSpeedway.com. Let's see if we can break that 800 attendance last night the next time they're coming out. And when will that be?
Let's see. The next race will be featuring that figure eight race. We're still trying to make sure that goes June 2nd.
June 2nd.
And then the other open comp nights was August 25th and October 20th. And we're looking at maybe doing that celebrity race in July, maybe 28th.
Yeah, I see where Eric Evans has got some of the cars, and he's already starting to get them all prepped and ready to go.
Yeah.
So folks, keep an eye on BaronaSpeedway.com to find out who's going to be in the celebrity race. You will be surprised. Dirt Dude, thank you very much. We'll talk to you down the road.
You guys have a good one. I'm going to try and recover from yesterday.
Yeah, go lay down.
Rest up.
Go lay down.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, folks. Hey, we got Paris Auto Speedway coming up next. We got Wild Man Brody Rowe is on the line. And has he got a story for you from last night? If you've heard the old saying, lights out, well, it's a whole new slogan to Brody. Right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. This is Racer Radio right here on AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, www.parisautospeedway.com. Need to check that half-mile dirt track out? Holy moly, folks. If you want an e-ticket ride, that's the place to be. And with that being said, we've got Brody Rowe on the line. How you doing, Brody?
Great. How you guys doing?
Not doing too bad. I understand you had a little bit of an unusual evening last night.
Yeah, something happened that.
When's the last time? Yeah, when's the last time that happened?
I couldn't even tell you. I don't know if it has.
So in case the folks didn't go, first off, which racetrack were you at?
I went up to Tulare, the Thunderbolt Raceway.
Okay.
I run the Peter Murphy Classic.
All right. And somebody just went left instead of right and hit a pole in the middle of the race. Goodness.
Well,
yeah.
Was it outside the track?
Yeah.
So they killed all the electric to the track?
Yeah, I heard. I heard that some lady crashed on the 99 and hit a power pole.
She was doing her James Dean impression.
Yeah. Well, you hit what you look at, right, Rody? You hit what you look at.
You shouldn't have been staring at it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why else would you hit a pole? That never, ever makes any sense to me at all.
Not at all.
So were you guys running at speed when the lights went out?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It didn't turn all the lights off around the whole track. It turned them off and turned 3 and 4. Uh-huh. And the lap before, we came out of 4 and they cut out. Now, looking forward, the lights are still on. I'm like, that's kind of weird. We're rolling down the back straightaway and they're like, yellow, yellow, yellow over the radio. Uh-huh. It's dark down there in 3 and 4.
Huh.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then you let off and somebody else didn't?
Yeah, we drove down into 3 and it was right on the fence. The car in front of me kind of, went in there and jumped out of the gas and kind of got into the wall, and I woke up to miss him, and then just got creamed from the next car. So
did it take you out for the night?
Yeah, it broke the header and the steering arm. So
the
unfortunate finish, but it happens.
Well, yeah, I mean that one you can definitely put in your book because very rarely does that happen.
Yeah. I think it might have happened once before a long time ago.
So, a lot of work to do on the car?
It wasn't too bad. We weren't running our car last night. Oh. I had the honor to drive the Mike Phelps 56 last night. So, first time running that thing. And we had a pretty decent night going until about halfway through the feature, kind of lost a handle on it and fell back. But, those guys towed it home, and they went north. I went south. So,
You're doing one of the riding drives, huh? Fly in, drive, and fly out. You're getting pretty hot shoe there. We're gonna have to, start saluting you when we see you. I like that.
Hey, I still like working on them just as much as I like driving them.
Yeah, well, and that's important because that's the way you know what that car is doing, and you can every noise, every sound, every vibration. You know that car like the back of your hand.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a huge deal, for kids growing up and starting racing to work on their own stuff. It just helps you understand how the car works better, and it's going to make you a better driver in the long run.
Well, I think when you see these young kids coming up through the ranks and do well, and because we've interviewed them, and we ask them as part of our questionnaire, do you work on the car? And the kids that work on the car always do better than the kids that don't work on the car. Why your dad or mom wouldn't let them work on the car, maybe because they don't figure they could do a good job. But if they don't make mistakes and learn how to do it, and if they got a good mentor, then I think you're right. That's a total positive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, growing up, when I started racing go-karts, my dad told me, you get it ready at the house, I'll take care of it at the track. If I didn't get it ready to go, we weren't going.
Oh,
yeah.
Smart. So,
and I thank him for that. Now it's like, I feel like I'm in a way better position than if I was just a kid where, my dad put it together and I just showed up and sat in the seat.
Yeah, exactly. And then what would that be? And if something was to happen, if your dad said, what happened? I don't know. It just stopped. I don't know, Dad. It just stopped.
Yeah.
Well, was it ignition? Was it an engine? I don't know. That doesn't make well for good relationships in the pits either.
Exactly. And, nobody wants to have a kid drive a car that has no idea what's going on, I think.
Yeah. And you're right, because and everything from setup, suspension, tire pressure, stagger, all the things that you need to learn. But the beauty about Paris and actually all the local tracks, I don't know of a track that doesn't think this way. Everybody helps everybody. If you see a kid out there and you can tell he's nose, you're plowing into the turns and his setup's not right, you know, you guys will jump right out and say, hey, dude, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be a lot faster and a lot better. And I think that's the beauty of small track racing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be there for everybody. And, you know, with the car counts we get, you got to make sure everybody's there every week and make sure they're going around, decent pace and got their stuff together.
Yeah, but see,
they need help.
Yeah,
you got to help them.
I was going to say, you're not afraid to tell them when they're not doing good either.
Yeah, I mean, constructive criticism and, making sure that they know what's going on. Because not just for them, but guys running up on them. If they're running up on them a little quicker, they got to know. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
So next weekend, you're going to race at Paris for the Salute to Indy?
Yeah, I'm glad to get back there. It's kind of a slow start getting ready to go around Paris. We rained out one. And at the beginning of the year, we start there one race a month. So happy to get back to Paris this weekend.
Are you going to be in your car?
Yeah, we'll be in the 91 again this weekend.
All right. Who's on the side of that car that helps you get to point A to point B?
Oh, man. Where should I start? No.
Start at the nose and work your way to the tail.
The huge one will start on the side of the hood is HD Industries. They've been with us quite a few years now, and we probably would have been out of the game a couple years ago if it wasn't for them.
Wow.
They supply us an engine and a shop and help us out and getting race to race. So they're a huge help, and I can't thank those guys enough.
Who else you got?
We got Burris Racing and Norma Leonard, Lee Leonard, Biker Bruce Fisher. And if you're ever around Paris, you know who Biker Bruce Fisher is.
Yeah.
And Competition Suspension, Oki Race Cars, NGK Spark Plugs and Driven Racing Oils and Molecule. There's a lot of stickers on the side of that car, and
yeah,
everybody helps out.
Did you say Burris Racing?
Yeah.
Is that from the go-kart years?
Mm-hmm.
OMG. Because I never could afford to do what you do. And so I put all my money and everything into karting back in the day, when Gary Emick had karts and, Sangers did motors. And
oh, yeah.
I used to take my kart because I couldn't afford a new kart. So I picked up a dual engine Emick Parnell. It was a one-off. It had setups for four-wheel discs, the whole nine yards. And I remember taking that cart to Sanger, and I handed him my checkbook. I handed him my go-kart. It says, call me when it's done, and if I don't win, I'm not paying. And I took it.
There you go.
Hey, and I got three first-place trophies sitting on my mantle at home. So when I watch any motorsports, I can stare at my three trophies sitting right up there. So, yeah. I love karting. I truly do. I think that's the best thing to get kids into, boys and girls. Get them into a kart, and get them, train them, teach them how to take them up to Adams. Or, I loved it when Imago used to have a track. Did you ever race at Imago?
No, I think Imago was gone when I started racing.
That was awesome. So, all right. So you're
here.
Pardon?
That's what I hear. Everybody likes Imago.
Yeah, it was really a fun track to drive at. And it was all family, a lot of kids and family and what have you came up there. But yeah, it's so what's your goals and aspirations? I mean, you do so well at this level. Are you looking for a more of a permanent ride maybe in the upper ranks?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's kind of everybody's goal.
Sure.
Is to I can't run a family-owned car for forever. So
yeah, you got to. Well, you got to get yourself in front of some of these promoters. You got to get yourself in front of some of these, some of these sponsors, and because you know as well as I do, all the big dogs go to all these races just to look for talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The goal would be to travel to the Midwest more and run back there. We're going to take our car back there a couple times this year. So
cool.
We have some good runs back there. Hopefully somebody starts noticing.
And that's all it's going to take. As long as you can get them to notice you, man, and you just never know. I tell this story all the time. We were at Western States Racer Expo last year, and we met this gentleman who was trying to get his kid into racing, and he was getting the crew some food, and he went to Chick-fil-A. Did I tell you this story? So he's going to Chick-fil-A, gets a big old bag of food because there's like five people working on the car. And he's going to the door, and of course he can't open the door because he's got all this food. So this guy opens the door for him and made a comment. He says, "Hey, what are you doing with all this food?" My son's trying to become a race car driver, and you got to feed the team. Guy turned around and sponsored his kid's car for 2 years.
Dang. Coming out at the right place at the right time there.
I know. I get goosebumps every time I tell that story because you just never know. But you got to keep letting people know you're out there. Well, Brody, hey, coming to KUSI and putting your gear on TV is still open anytime you want to do it.
That sounds good to me.
All right, so all you got to do is bug me, and we'll get you in on probably a Sunday, and I don't care if it's wadded up or not. But, hey, you stay safe, keep the lights on, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Will do. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Brody.
All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we got some motorsport news that we can share with you right here on AM 1170.
The Answer.
Just coming in the door as we speak.
But not yet.
Not yet. Lance is ready.
Lance is in the house, though.
Wait a minute. Is it just you and me, dude?
Yes. He said he's the guy. And I said, well, just welcome to my world.
Always the
guy. Try doing 3 hours.
It's going to be
wild. It's nothing.
Wild.
It'll go fast. It'll be fine.
Well, I think Schwartz is still out at the show.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So we got a lot of racing this weekend.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Indy qualifying.
Yes.
And I know you're going to start whimpering again because you don't get to go.
Yes. Big whimpering.
So they had their qualifying is strange. So they had qualifying yesterday for the top nine. And once you got into the fast nine, then that all goes out the window.
Yeah,
and
then it's like they
start all over again
today.
Yeah,
they zero it all out and you start over and you have to go in individual laps and show how fast you can go on the individuals.
And
that's what they were doing today.
Well, they
were
individual yesterday, too.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they didn't do it in a pack like they used to. Everything was individual.
Oh, I missed it.
Hats off to Danica Patrick. Got in the top nine.
That's really generous of you to say because I know you're not a fan.
Well, I'm a fan when she's in the right venue. And I don't think NASCAR was the right venue for her.
I agree.
She was cranking 232 miles an hour.
Open wheel is her thing.
And she needs to understand it. Now,
yes.
But, you know, so.
So good. Welcome back to her.
To her.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it.
Now, the sad part of this whole story was
Hinchcliffe. Yeah. Hinch is such a great guy. Everybody wanted. He's been a player for, you know, in this series for so long.
He's a poster child for IndyCar.
Yes, he is. He's the guy they want up in front, right along with Joseph Newgarden.
Yep.
And he's just the up-and-coming guy of the year here.
Well, let's put it this way. He was number one until Joseph showed up. Joseph has kind of taken taken
the golden
baton.
Boy thing away. Yeah.
He's taken that baton. So,
but he was
Hinch. He wasn't fast enough. And it was one of those things where he was in good shape. He says, okay, not a problem. We'll be able to rock this out. So he comes in, you know, try to get the engine cooled down, put a new set of tires on it. Out he went. He didn't even make it to turn one. Did you tape that by chance?
I didn't.
Okay. You can hear in his voice, "We got a vibration." I mean, it was that distinct. And you could tell this guy was hanging on for dear life. And then he goes, "It's going away. It's going away." And then, it's gone away. It's gone away. Oh, it's coming back. So he either had a tire go down or had one come apart. So he pulls in, and by the time he got the tires changed, Pippa Mann, who was, I really feel sorry for this lady. I mean, she only races one race a year, and it's the Indy 500. She doesn't drive any other, I mean, she reminds me of me when I used to run the Coronado Speed Festival. The only time I ever really truly raced was during that speed festival. So, of course, I never did well. You know, you're never going to win when you only drive once. So she goes out. She couldn't get up to speed to save her life. Now, is it the car's fault? Is it her fault? I don't know. But I don't know how many years she's tried and has not gotten into the show.
Too bad.
So she gets to the line before Hinchcliffe after he put new tires and wheels on. Well, guess what? By the time she went out, see, the only way he would have been able to do it is if they would have called her in because she couldn't keep the speed, and they didn't.
Yeah, he was devastated. He said he's fifth in IndyCar standings right now.
Well, he's devastated.
I mean, just devastating. And same with Pippa. She you know, she's British. She spends her entire year working to raise money just for the Indy 500. Well, you know, Hinch also, he almost died.
Oh, I know. It was a horrendous
in 2015 accident. In that horrible accident, and had a pierced artery.
So the word on the street is Hinch is at the point now where he's willing to buy a ride.
Well, that's what you heard. And I heard that the IndyCar management was reaching out to him and trying to figure out a way to waiver him in.
You can't.
They were working on it.
But you can't, because if you do it for him, you got to do it for everybody. Well, yeah, you got to do it for Pippa, too. But if he wants to buy a ride, you know, if an ownership wants to take a driver out.
Yeah, that's the only way they could do it.
Then I can see it. I don't see it going any other way, because once you set that precedence, but let me tell you
what,
folks.
Yeah, they can only have 33 cars.
If you always wanted to know what depression looked like.
Yeah, look at his face.
You should have seen. But you know what? He was such a trooper.
Yeah.
It was a team issue. It's a team sport. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And I think that's what's so heartbreaking about this, is because of the fact that, you know, he worked so hard at it.
Yeah. So keep your eye on Tony George, because he's the one I had heard that was going to try to, quote unquote, force an exception to get Hinchcliffe back in.
Tony George. He's got about as much horsepower as a lawnmower. He used to be. Oh, by the way, I was watching I can't even think of the name of the race, but it's the Pro 4 and Pro 2 stadium truck races, you know, the Lucas Oil.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Bryce Menzies, who was supposed to be racing this weekend out at in Arizona, was doing a TV commercial for Red Bull and overjumped a jump with his truck and fractured 3 vertebrae. So they needed a driver. Well, who just retired was Carl Rennesenter. And Carl Rennesenter had convinced himself he's done. So Carl, they asked Carl, hey, could you come in and do it? And he won.
He won?
He won. And he was, during the interview, he says, I had myself so convinced that I would never drive again, and I was okay with it.
Wow.
And then I get the call from these guys. And now he turns around and wins the race. So what's that going to do? But I think he's going to have to, well, I don't know how long it takes to heal a fractured vertebrae, not one, but two, but three. So it looks like I got a feeling he's going to run the series.
Probably. It's probably at least 6 months.
That's what I'm thinking.
On a fracture like that.
And he was awesome. I mean, he hasn't missed
it. Isn't that amazing? He's still fit in the track suit and everything?
Still fit. He's still in good shape. You know, you can tell he still works out.
Well, but can you imagine if he had stopped working out and got many chubby donuts on board? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He would have been like, oh, I can't. Thank goodness he stayed in shape.
Yeah, so he did an absolutely awesome job. So if you're into that series, it looks like they're starting to broadcast it a little bit more. What do you got newsy-wise?
Oh, well, I was just looking through the notes on the All-Star NASCAR race last night.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Kevin Harvick.
The guy who's NASCAR's, you know, king.
His wife is at Nordstrom's as we speak.
I'm sure she is.
But you know,
spending the $1 million.
But everybody that said, hey, what are you going to do with that $1 million? Every one of them said, well, I have to give it to the owner. I just hope I get some of it.
Oh.
So I'm sure it's in the contract.
That's an ouch.
But Harvick just, but you know, I like the race. I've always liked the All-Star race because it's basically a free-for-all. There's no points, just a bucket load of money. But what's his face? Suarez?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw this.
Suarez. That kid was awesome.
Was
man.
He really?
I mean, I think once he's going to break through. He's going to come out of the, he's going to break through because he definitely has the talent. That kid can drive.
And it says he got a push from Hamlin on the final restart.
In straightaway and the turn.
Oh.
Yeah. And now these are cars that only, they super restricted their, put restrictor plates in it.
Yeah.
I think top speeds were like 160.
Yeah. You know, that's what the LA Times article
said. But
that's
good.
And they also had him in a tighter pack. The formation.
Because of the restrictor plate, you know, there's nothing you can do. You have to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have your foot in the gate. The minute you let up, even for a hiccup, yeah, it's like, but that was a good race. I enjoyed that. The truck race was really good on Friday night, which if you want to stay on top of the young drivers coming up, and I like the new ruling that the Xfinity are doing, especially when they're running for money, is that no NASCAR pros are allowed.
Oh.
Which I love. I love that.
So now Logano and those other guys, they can't do it anymore.
Well, you know, and I hear the argument, well, if you let the big boys in, it's good for the young kids because they get to run up again. No.
I have to agree with you on that. I think it's better
to run with
let the pros run with the pros.
Yeah, and let these kids run against theirs.
Here's the thing. I think they can distinguish themselves. You know, you're not fighting against Joey Logano. You're fighting against a guy who's in your, you know, competitive class.
No offense, but if you're up against Logano and Kyle Busch, what's the point of writing a check this big to come in third, fourth, fifth, or sixth?
Right. And you could come in first, maybe.
Yeah. And guess what? You start to look at some of these winners, and that's just it.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, we're getting close to the end.
Yeah, so
we're on a countdown for Ventura Speedway and Wild Michelle going on the Corey Cruzan sprint car race. So, folks,
next up, though, we're going to be out at Barona.
Yes, we are. And that'll be June 2nd. So
yes.
Be there or be square, we will be there.
And next weekend at Paris.
That's right.
For the Salute to Indy.
That'll be a wild one, too.
Yes. And by the way, we are on Facebook, in case you didn't figure that out yet, on Racer Radio. That's our name on Facebook.
Right.
And You Ought to Know has a page as well.
And don't forget carcentric.net right here on AM 1170.
The Answer. Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.